Good morning. I'm Claudio Stocco. Washington State University Department of Biological Systems Engineering. Actually, it's a big pleasure to be speaking to this audience this morning because I think I know most of you. And that's an indication that we have many friends or we're getting really old because when you start knowing everybody in the room, means you've been around for a while, I think. But it's a really nice occasion. I would like to start by acknowledging co-authors in this paper, of which two of them are in the room, Armen Kimanian here, I see Terry over there. And with that, we'll move on. You've seen this over and over. The point here is that this is nothing new. The thing had been proposed in the 60s and sort of recycled in the 70s and 80s. The point here is, and what you see on the right-hand side, and you need to have the summation there. It's you're summing biomass as you sign fraction intercepted PAR, or you're summing the T over DA, which is atmospheric vapor pressure deficit, or a normalization by ET zero. And it will be the same way. When you do these experiments, typically you find this kind of result where you have some spread and you feed a line through that, and now you have this value, which would be the radiation use efficiency on top, or it would be the K there, the coefficient for transpiration use efficiency. There are different names, and people refer even to the Tanner and Sinclair constant because it was popularized in 1983 by Tanner and Sinclair when they revisited the issue and went through some fundamentals in how to get this constant. But it's always been treated as a constant. And indeed, when you repeat the experiment, you tend to get values that are not very different in the same location for the same crop. And even within cultivars, it's not much spread there either. So we feel very comfortable about this. So with that, I conclude my presentation because there's nothing really new, except for the fact that we're much more interested now in this kind of relationship because of, I'm sure most of you here have pressure from your state or your legislators or politicians to give some numbers regarding what's going to happen with climate change or what's going to happen with decreasing water resources. And these are questions that are not going to go away. In fact, they're going to get more significant. And to answer these questions, really, we need to be looking at this in a very regional, national, even global scales. And there are efforts already kind of trying to see these situations across the globe with the same methodology. So you're going to have to resort to these kind of models, simple models, to address the question. But then the issue is, are these really conservative? We assume they are conservative. We use it at that. And I have not seen much of a challenge to this particular concept. We know that the weather fluctuates, and not only across locations, but also during a growing season. You have very different conditions early in the season than you have late in the season. So there is a change there that we need to recognize. Now, one option to understand how conservative these values are is to go to the literature and collect data from whatever you find in many locations or run experiments, which more and more seems to be a thing of the past. I mean, to agree to run a global experiment or a national experiment is becoming less and less feasible. And so when you go to the literature, you find information for a given crop, but different cultivars, different methodologies in how things were done. You're collecting ET, some people have lysimeters, others have neutron probes, others have estimations of ET, and so on and so forth. The inherent variability of experimental information also tend to obscure, you know, what's going on there, because the variability tend to mask what you're trying to learn, which is how conservative with respect to changes in climatic conditions. So we decided to build another model, and that's what we call the CTP model. It's a canopy transpiration photosynthesis model that runs on an hourly basis. And we have some data from bushland to do some evaluation of the model and some data we collected from this literature worldwide for water use efficiency. Characteristics of the model are indicated here. Main feature, we're dividing the canopy in sun-lit and shaded fractions, and we treat then each fraction as a big leaf to complete an energy balance, and we calculate also the average irradiance for these two fractions to calculate photosynthesis using Farquhar type of biochemical capacity models for photosynthesis. And so we calculate a demand. We also have a supply that is the diffusion from the bulk air to the subestomatal cavities. And then we need to iterate to kind of match these two things. In the middle of this, you have stomatal responses that are responding to these changes in photosynthetic conditions. And it's changing to the CO2 condition in the atmosphere, air vapor pressure deficit, plant water status. So we have plant water uptake also there. I give you water potential, and the water potential feedback into the stomatal conductance. So all of this need to be iterated many times in order to solve the whole system in the equilibrium value for each hour. The model is available. I do this in Excel, actually, with Visual Basic. If somebody's interested, we can talk about that later. I have it with me, and we can discuss if anybody wants to do that. The reason of the model essentially is to produce values of transpiration use efficiency, radiation use efficiency, and so on, that are from one source. Okay, it's just a model. If the model is wrong, then we're in trouble, but that's what we're relying on to kind of isolate any other variation. Here you have some runs of the model with data from bushland. Takes like similar to that, how it runs there. That's for wheat. Just to give you a sense of two things, more or less tracking what is being observed. That's for maize now. And keep in mind here that the model is trying to predict transpiration, is what we need. The lysimers provide ET, but we're looking at full canopy conditions, so evaporation is not much of a factor. But even then, we take a proportion of the ET based on the canopy interception of solar irradiance. So that's what you see there. When it comes to experimental data for water use efficiency, there you have what we have collected, and Armin was very instrumental in getting many of this, for wheat and maize. And values that you see, and you just plot them together, and you get that pattern. And certainly you get this variability here, but there is a trend there. For maize, we collected quite a bit of data here. We were able to get this one that is a data point from Lebanon, and as it was bombed, we were corresponding to the person and says, I cannot send you the data today because it's pretty bad today. The rates are not very good. So we were very lucky to get this point because it's very an extreme point here, as you see, and from Lebanon. Don't remember exactly where from Lebanon. The point is, if we want to compare the CTP model output with this data, we cannot do it directly. The reason for that, each data point that you see here essentially is a seasonal data point. And you need to have the weather, daily weather, for all the variables required to do a complete energy balance. And simply, it's not available in many cases. Or we have just summaries for monthly or, you know, integrated time of value. So we cannot do that. So we said, well, why don't we just get a data set that encompasses all the variability that we can possibly find in terms of what you see there, temperature, max, mean, radiation, relative humidity, max, mean, and wind speed. And then the ET naught and the vapor pressure deficit there as values obtained out of that data. So we have a number of locations here. This is Concepcion, this is in Argentina, Landriano is in Italy, in Milan, Temple, Texas, Pullman, Washington, Prosser, also in Washington State, Ankara in Turkey, Aleppo in Syria, and Maricopa, somewhere in southern U.S., right? Okay. Arizona there. And you see, there's quite an array here. If you look at the vapor pressure deficit, these are average for a period between 120 and 240 days of the year. So it's a big range. And I realize that crops are not growing sometimes in some of those conditions. We didn't pay any attention to that. We wanted just to have the maximum amount of variability that we could have in terms of weather conditions. And we go, let's say, 0.8 up to 3.2, going through all the game here. Same is true for radiation and so on. So quite a bit of variability. And when we do that, we run then the CTP model for this, and we take daily values of transpiration use efficiency, period. It's took daily values. And out of 120 runs, in this case, actually, we run it, it's hourly. I think the output is summarized every 15 days. So each point there that you see, this is an output from CTP model now. And I don't remember if this one actually is a 15-day average or not. It's not. It doesn't make really much difference anyway, but I don't remember exactly right now. But as you see, the model is able to produce a distribution of this that is relatively congruent with what the data is trying to tell us there. So that gives us some confidence, at least we're in the ballpark for transpiration, for water use efficiency. And we thought, with that, we're ready to kind of make some analysis, okay? And, you know, you can argue how good or bad this is as an evaluation of the model, but we feel comfortable with it. So with that, what we did next, in the same range, again, you have 120 days in eight locations, okay? So you have almost 1,000 data points, that's what you see there. And we calculated then, in this case, radiation use efficiency. Now, keep in mind, these are grams per megajoule. These are megajoules of solar radiation. And this is for the entire biomass production. So this includes roots as well. Okay, this is the whole thing. And the important message here is clearly, in the case of radiation, and this is, I don't know how well you can see this. I didn't want to create too many slides. And you have vapor pressure deficit here, ET naught, solar radiation, and the fraction of diffuse radiation of the total radiation. And you see, it responds to all of these things. And clearly, if you have changing conditions in terms of during growing season or throughout different locations, you cannot ignore this. Now, when you calculate again, as I showed you at the beginning, a value that is fit for the entire season. Sure, that's very conservative and tend to be the same values. You do the experiment in different years, a little bit of different slope, but it's not a great change. But that's not the way this thing works. The thing works, it has to work in every single day. What you're doing there is trying to get a seasonal value that gives you errors that are under-predicting or over-predicting, and with the hope that they cancel out at the end and you get a prediction. And it seems to work in that way. But again, if we're going to go global or large scales, this is going to be an inconvenience. What you see here, all the thing detaching down here, these are effect of temperature. Because some of those conditions I mentioned could be marginal for what could be maybe the early state for a crop. So I agree, we don't have crop throughout the whole period. But we do have cold weather typically early in the crop growth. And what you're going to have then is quite of a decrease of that radiation use efficiency. We all know effects of things like nitrogen or other stresses that would affect these things as well. And some of the things have been documented in the literature. There's been quite a bit of debate if they are real or not, if it's VPD causing this, if it's a fraction of diffuse radiation. The reality is that it's hard to tell, but they all very much correlate. You know, when you have high solar radiation, you're going to have high VPD. Okay, and you're going to have a low amount of diffuse, so it all play out kind of in the same direction. On the contrary, when you do the same, but in this case, you took the water use efficiency and you plot this versus either atmospheric vapor pressure deficit or ET naught, you get a much nicer relationship. Okay, this is something you can work with. That's for wheat. And that's for maize. I forgot to mention those are the two crops that we parameterize with CTP model and try here. Same thing. So that behavior in general is good, especially when you cross certain boundaries. As you get to the low end, you start seeing more dispersion there. Now, what we did here was to calculate now the K constant for the normalization for atmospheric vapor pressure deficit and for the normalization with ET naught. And what is within the red lines is more or less the typical range where these crops are grown. But you have instances outside this. It's kind of the more typical there. And in the case of K, clearly you have values changing from 3 up to 6 there. And we've seen that. In our own practice using the CropSys model, we always say to people, you need to calibrate for your local conditions. Because I realized very early on that this thing was not really constant. Okay? And you can see how different it can be. When you normalize by ET0, it seems to be more stable, but still you have a variation there between more or less 15 to 22 there. And remember, these values are affected by our own calculations in terms of respiration, in terms of particularly respiration and partition into roots. So, you know, this line could move a little bit up and down depending on how you do that, but the trend is clearly there. And same is true with maize. It's even worse in the case of maize. And again, I've seen all those values being used by people in when they try to calibrate the CropSys model that used this approach. And I think for the ET naught normalization, you're going to find the same problem that you're going to find as you go trying that kind of approach, that you're going to find values that are not necessarily constant but fluctuate within a range. Again, more stable. But in the case of maize, for example, it's a significant range there. This is comparing now the K that we calculate with the data where we could calculate actual K. And the same here when we do it for corn and with the data we have. This is the expression there has to do a lot with the ET naught. You know, that's very hard to calculate. Sometimes problem with the weather data, probably with the methodology being used, et cetera. But give you a trend, and you see that this there is seems to be a trend there. The red line is what the model is doing. So the question that really required answer here is, what is the advantage of using the seasonal mean linear values that we get to calculate daily water use efficiency? And is there any reason for not using daily W values directly? You know, you can see fit that very well. Why not to use that? Why we try to linearize something and go back? And if it was a true constant, I would see the advantage, but it's not. So why don't we try to do this using what fits best, which is that power function? And it seems to be very stable. We need to work with some other crops. It seems to be the slopes there seem to be relatively stable for C3 and C4, respectively. And you see there the case of the K for ET naught. And you see the number of values I put there, 28, 33, 40, for situations that you see there for ET naught. And when you put water stress to the picture, things get even more complicated. The blue line here is if it was stable at 1, no change. Okay, but things start going down, I mean up. This line here would be if there was full compensation, if you lose transpiration, but then you gain by in efficiency, so you would produce the same. Okay, if there was such a possibility, it seemed to happen a little bit early on that you can have that compensation, but it's less and less possible as you go with larger stress. This is T over T naught, and this is the biomass. Now, this gives us first cut. Here there are issues. We're not correcting for changes in canopy temperature. They're going to be clearly very different as we stress the crop. That we change the respiration. So this is the first cut to see what could happen there. The main point is going up. In the range of interest probably would be around here for actual situations. And with that, I'll move to my final conclusions that essentially is indicating the possibility of moving to maybe use this power function as opposed to try to fit this K values to data. Thank you.